وقل رب زدني علما.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Inshallah, we have the class from the book Kitab Bulugh al-Maram lil-Hafid Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala, Hadith 335. Hadith number 335. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا سمعتم الإقامة، عليكم السلام، إذا سمعتم الإقامة فامشوا إلى الصلاة، وعليكم السكينة والوقار، ولا تسرعوا، فما أدركتم فصلوا، وما فاتكم فأتموا. متفق عليه، واللفظ للبخاري. Narrated Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you hear the iqama, you should walk to the prayer in its place with tranquility and dignity, and do not hasten. And whatever portion of the prayer you get in it along with the imam, over it, and complete afterwards whatever you miss. Agree upon, and the wording is Al-Bukhari. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam command to go to the salah when the iqama is made. If you hear the iqama, it's a mandatory to answer the call of iqama. قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ means salah is established. To go to the iqama, to go to the prayer. But how will you go? Running, rushing? No. وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّكِينَةِ, and upon you, السَّكِينَةِ tranquility. وَالْوَقَارِ and calmness. Calmness, dignity. وَلَا تُسْرِعُوا, and do not hasten. Do not hasten. You see some of the musallin, they hasten to the salah, they're running. The hadith says, وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَالْوَقَارِ, upon you, السَّكِينَةُ, tranquility, and waqar, dignity. وَلَا تُسْرِعُوا, and do not hasten. Then, فَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُوا, whatever portion of the prayer you reach, means along with the imam, over it. وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأَتِمُّوا, and afterwards, whatever you miss, complete it. This hadith, the wording is for Imam Bukhari, even though it's collected by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. What can we benefit from this hadith? فَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا, whatever you reach, pray. وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ, whatever you miss, فَأَتِمُّوا, complete it. The people of knowledge, they differ what is the first part of the Ma'mum's prayer? If you join the Imam, the congregation, and prayer lately. For instance, you come to the masjid the third rak'ah of Isha. The third rak'ah of Isha. And then the Imam Taslim out. How many rak'ah left for you? Two. طيب. If you stand for the third rak'ah of yours, will you recite the Fatiha loudly or not? Or silently? Silently. Here some ulama they say you recite these two rak'ah left for you loudly because these two is your first two rak'ah. Since the two rak'ah you pray with the imam was his last two rak'ah, you already pray your last two rak'ah. So you pray in first two rak'ah, which means you recite the Fatiha loud. It is understandable. And some ulama, they say no. You already perform your first two rak'ah with the imam. So you pray last two rak'ah, which means you don't say the Fatiha loud. Which one is stronger? A brother told me those who pray at the airport, rental area, Muslims, they are from different countries, some of them from countries, and people there, they follow the madhab of Imam Malik, some of the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, some of the madhab of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, some of them the madhab of Imam Shafi'i. So they differ based on what they used to see. So the ulama, they differ this issue. And inshallah, the strongest opinion is that you already performed first two rak'ah of yours. Because this hadith, Prophet ﷺ said, وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأَتِمُّ. And what you miss, complete it. فَأَتِمُّ, complete it. It's not started over. It's not started from beginning. It's complete. That means you already did some of it. Completed. The other ulama, they use another wording not collected by Bukhari and Muslim, which is وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَقْضُوا. وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَقْضُوا. Which means, they say, فَقْضُوا means make it up. Make it up. But those ulama, they answer to that saying, فَقْضُوا is not all the time means make it up. Sometimes it means do it. As Allah said in Quran, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِكُمْ فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ. What does it mean if you perform the salah? Not if you make up the salah. Al-Muhim, they agree on that the salah is valid. Whether you take the first opinion or the second, the salah is valid. But the strongest opinion, inshallah, is that madhab. وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأَتِمُّ. And what you miss, complete it. الاهتمام يكون شيء له ماذا. طيب, next hadith. When we take one hadith, if there is any brother who give us a benefit, that we should know it, or making correction, please, inshallah. وعن أبي بن كعب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الرجل مع الرجل أزكى من صلاته وحده وصلاته مع الرجلين أزكى من صلاته مع الرجل وما كان أكثر فهو أحب إلى الله عز وجل. رواه أبو داود والنسائي وصححه ابن حبان. ناري أبو أبي بن كعب, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man's prayer offered with another man is purer than his prayer which he offers alone. And his prayer with two men is purer than his prayer with one. And if they are more, meaning in number, it's more beloved to Allah, the mighty, the majestic. Reported by Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i and Ibn Hibban, Gray is Sahih, means authentic. What do we benefit from this hadith? The more number in the congregation, the bigger reward. Therefore, the salah you pray in Makkah, in that sense, is better than the salah you pray in any other masjid. The salah you pray in the haram in the Kaaba, is better than the salah you pray any other place. Not because of the specific virtue for the prayer in Kaaba, but because of what? The number of people there. So the more the masjid, let us say that Masjid Tawheed, tonight the jama'ah is certain number. Tomorrow is more number, tomorrow is more ajr. Even with the same masjid. So this is not apply only to the masjid. Even at work, if you end up praying at work, the salah you pray with someone is better than the one you pray by yourself. The three is better than the one with two, and the like. وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرَ فَهُوَ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And what's more in number is more beloved to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. In the hadith, صِفَ مِنْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah loves something. Subhanah. عز وجل روى أبو داود والنسائي وصحابه بن حبان وعن أمي ورقة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرها أن تؤم أهل دارها رواه أبو داود وصحابه بن خزيمة وحسنه الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله نارير أم ورقة May Allah be pleased with her. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded her to lead the members of her household. The Prophet ﷺ commanded her to lead the members of her household, meaning in prayer. Reported by Abu Dawood, Ibn Khuzaymah, great is sahih. Authentic Shaykh al-Albani said, Hassan. So this is authentic narration that Prophet ﷺ commanded that female companion called Umm Waraqa radiallahu anha, that she should lead her members, the family, the members of her household. She become the imam because she memorized the Quran. She collected the Quran, radiallahu anha. And this female companion, she had a speciality. Prophet ﷺ used to visit her. The day of Badr, she asked the Prophet ﷺ if she can go with him to make jihad fi sabilillah with him, so she can take care of the wounded, those people. Prophet Sallam commanded her to stay and to lead her household, and she will die upon shahada. She will die upon shahada. So she used to be called a shahida, martyr. Even after Prophet Muhammad died. Then after time, her slave female and male girls kill her. They cover her with a cloth and she died out of suffocation. Suffocation. Barakallahu fiqh. She died for that. Radiallahu anha. This is one of the ways which shows Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was a prophet of Allah. Millions of ways, not hundreds. One of the ways is to mention what Prophet ﷺ mentioned ahead of time. So and so will die in that way. So and so will die on that way. This one he will be killed. This one he will die upon shahada. And it happened as he ﷺ mentioned. This is one of it. Umm Waraqa. Prophet ﷺ said, you will get this shahada. She's female. You stay in her house, lead the people in your household, and you will get the shahada you're looking for. And after the death of Prophet ﷺ, she was killed by those people at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. They were caught, they were caught and they've been killed. Also, someone else, Prophet ﷺ said he will die upon shahada. Anyone will remember? Somebody, Prophet ﷺ said he will get the shahada. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Who else? Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day was in Uhud, the mountain of Uhud, and it moved. He said, "Oh Uhud, stop. Nothing is on you but a prophet, a siddiq, and shahidan. Shahidan. Nothing is on you but a prophet, a siddiq. Who is that? Abu Bakr Siddiq and Shahidan, and they were Umar and Uthman. Umar was killed. Who killed Umar? Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi, fire worshipper. Umar used to fear Allah, even though Umar used to be very strong. Very strong. If he take away, Shaitan take another way. Umar radiallahu anhu. He makes some suggestions to the Prophet so and so to be permissible, so and so to be forbade, so and so to be done, and Allah revealed subhanahu wa ta'ala revelation on that. Al-Imam Suyuti mentioned more than 20 incidents. Kana mulhaman radiallahu anhu. He was giving Friday lecture one time and he said, Ya Sariya wara al-Jabal. Ya Sariyatu wara al-Jabal. Oh Sariya, behind the mountain. And he was talking to the people who were fighting with the enemy. And they heard of the Muslims were a man called Sariya. And they heard that. Sahaba, those who attended the Friday lecture at the Prophet's Masjid, they surprised, Umar, who you talk to? Where is Sariya? He mentioned. That's what was happening, Umar radiallahu anhu. So from those, Prophet ﷺ mentioned ahead of time he will die upon Shahada Umar. Umar was killed, leading Fajr prayer. And the other one was Uthman radiallahu anhu. He was killed by Khawarij. And many other Sahaba, Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, like Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. Abu Dharr, he will die by himself. Prophet ﷺ said, Yamutu, he become Muslim only himself, and he will die only himself. And he died only himself. Nobody was with him when he died. Sahabi Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu. Many things Prophet ﷺ mentioned. There is Kutub al-Malahim. Prophet ﷺ talk about the future, what will happen. Fire will start from Medina. It will be seen from Sham. That fire will lighten the necks of the camel in Sham, in Syria, that land. That's exactly what happened. The people of knowledge who were alive at that time, they mentioned it. And many things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned. Yet the enemy of Allah, they have doubt about the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All those things is something has been mentioned. Alhamdulillah, but we were not present. But what we are present is the Quran. All the miracles from Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Isa, Prophet Musa, we didn't attend those miracles. But we believe it because it comes to a reliable source. But as for Quran, we witness it. Quran is there now. Anyone has doubt Quran to be the word of Allah, let him find anyone who can help him. Let him come with like the Quran. One chapter, the light of the Quran. Never it will happen, and it didn't happen. Have you ever seen a book author written by Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, the enemy of the Prophet ﷺ, the Quraysh, those he learned the language among them? Whoever wrote down a book to challenge the Quran, do you have it? No. Do you have until now? How many Christians? Lebanon Christians, Egyptian Christians, Palestinian Christians, and name it from Arabs. Why they don't do that? Those Christians, they translate the Bible in Arabic. They spend so much money. If Quran is not the word of Allah, why they don't challenge it? They can't. Mu'jizatun la ilaha illallah. But if somebody doesn't have heart, if somebody doesn't have heart, he will not see the truth. He's blind. Just like somebody who doesn't see, who is blind, he will not see the sun. To see the sun, you need two things. You need to have eyes to see with, and there has to be light. If there is no light, you don't see things. And if there is light, but you're blind, you don't see it, anything. You should have two. The eyes to see with, and the light to see with, to see things. The same thing. Somebody should be with a good heart, pure heart, honest heart, humble heart, who has a knowledge. And then he see the haqq, he see the truth. He has good heart, he's honest and no arrogance, not blind following, not stubbornness. Honest that he's seeking the truth, he wants to please Allah. And also he see the truth. That one, طيب, the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرَ فَهُوَ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استخلف ابن أم مكتوم يؤم الناس وهو أعمى, رواه أحمد وأبو داود ونحوه لابن حبان عن عائشة رضي الله عنها. Narrated Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم appointed Ibn Umm Maktum. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed Ibn Umm Maktum, and he was a blind, to lead the people in prayer in his absence sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he, Ibn Umm Maktum, was a blind, reported by Ahmad and Ibn Dawud. Ibn Hibban also reported something similar from Aisha radiallahu anha. In this hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made the Sahabi Ibn Umm Maktum to lead the Salah, even though he was a blind. It means a blind can lead the Salah. Ibn Umm Maktum, who is he? What do we know about him? Do you remember anything related to Ibn Umm Maktum? Is Abdullah Ibn Umm Maktum? Naam? Anything you remember about him? Yes. Abu Bakr. Naam is the second muadhin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ahsant. Ahsant. Fajr prayer, Ibn Umm Maktum used to make the adhan, the second adhan. And Bilal used to make the adhan, the first adhan. Fajr prayer has two adhans. Another thing we know about Ibn Umm Maktum. Naam Abu Wail. Ahsanta, barakallahu fik. Is the one Allah revealed the beginning of Surah Abasa in his case. Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma wa ma yudrika al-ayat. Yeah, this Sahabi, he was a blind in Mecca. He came to the Prophet ﷺ to teach him. But at the time, Prophet ﷺ was some of the elders of Quraysh, disbelievers. And he ﷺ wished if he could have time to spend with those people to call them to Allah. When this Sahabi, Ibn Umm Maktum, he came to the Prophet ﷺ, and Prophet ﷺ knows that these people will leave him alone if he let Ibn Maktum sit with them. They were not going to sit with him. So he wished sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Sahabi wouldn't come at that time. And that feeling was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his face. Allah revealed the ayah, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَى أما من استغنى فأنت له تصدى، وما عليك ألا يزكى، وأما من جاءك يسعى وهو يخشى فأنت عنه تلهى، كلا إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكر. سبحان الله. Ponder on those verses. It's very clear. The truth, the guidance is for who? The one who has a desire, the one who wants it. كلا إنها تذكرة. Nay, it is admonition. فمن شاء ذكرة. For whoever wants to ذكرة. So someone who doesn't want the haq, don't go, don't run after him. Don't break your time, don't break your back going after him. Why this person doesn't become Muslim? Why this and you grieve for? Don't do that. Just take the means, call him to Allah. That's all. And don't turn away from someone who wants the haq. Don't turn away from someone who wants the truth. Some groups, Ahlul Bid'ah, they don't teach. When they want to teach somebody, they look for the status of those people. Jazakallahu khairin. Yeah, but they go after the doctors. They go after the people with status. They don't teach the women. They don't teach the children. They don't teach. Before they teach anyone, they look what they get benefit from. They get in vote. They get in money. That's their calculation. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. So they gather as much as they can gather of people of worldly status. Yeah, this is not right. The truth, the one who has more fearing to it, more deserving it, is the one who wants it. وَمَا كَانُوا أَوْلِيَاءَهُ إِنْ أَوْلِيَاءُهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ. The people who belong to the haram, to the Mecca, to the Masjid al-Haram, is the pious. Not people who have certain status and nationalities and law. The haram, house of Allah. Those who should be belong to are the people of taqwa. Al-Muhim, the same thing, the masjid. Anyone who wants khair should be welcome. This is his house of Allah. Nobody should prevent him. So this is the sahabi. After that, Prophet ﷺ used to honor the sahabi. He used to say, this is the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala atabani rabbi bihi fihi. يعني طيب. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوا على من قال لا إله إلا الله وصلوا خلف من قال لا إله إلا الله. رواه الدارقطني بإسناد ضعيف. Narrated Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pray, means funeral prayers over him who said, who believe nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and pray behind him who says nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Al-Darqutni reported it through a weak chain of narration. So this narration is weak. But the meaning is right. To pray on the janazah, anyone who is upon tawheed, and to pray behind anyone who is a Muslim. As long as the person is a Muslim, his salah is valid. من صحت صلاته في نفسه صحت صلاته في غيره. Whoever his salah is authentic for himself, his salah he lead other people is also authentic for them. وعن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتى أحدكم الصلاة والإمام على حال فليصنع كما يصنع الإمام. رواه الترمذي بإسناد ضعيف. Narrated Ibn Hajj Ibn Ali Ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if one of you comes to Salah and the Imam is at certain position, he must do as the Imam is doing. Reported by a Tirmidhi with a weak chain of narration. So this narration is not authentic. The meaning is sound. Means if you come to the salah, you do what the imam is doing it. If he's in sujood, you go to the sujood. After you make the two takbir, the takbir of entrancy, entering the prayer is a pillar. You must, otherwise your salah is not valid. And then the takbir of al-intiqal, the takbir of moving from a pillar to a pillar, from standing to the sujood. The likewise, the imam is in tashahud, go straight. He's in the second, between the two sujood, go straight. And the like. Don't do what some Muslims they do, they wait, the imam. Until he's in ruku', they run. Next chapter, قال Imam رحمه الله تعالى باب صلاة المسافر والمريض. Chapter 11, the prayer of a traveler and a sick person. The prayer of a traveler and a sick person. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت أول ما فرضت الصلاة ركعتين فأقرت صلاة السفر وأتمت صلاة الحضر. متفق عليه. وللبخاري ثم هاجر صلى الله عليه وسلم ففرضت أربعا وأقرت صلاة السفر على الأول. وزاد أحمد إلا المغرب فإنها وتر النهار وإلا الصبح فإنها تطول فيها القراءة. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها نارر عائشة من الله be pleased with her that when the salah, the prayer was first prescribed, it was two rak'ah. It was consist of two rak'ah. Afterwards, the prayer during traveling was confirmed, meaning as two rak'ah, while the prayer at the place of residence was completed, meaning as four rak'ah, agreed upon. Al-Bukhari has the wording, then Allah's Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, immigrated and it was prescribed as four. But prayer while traveling was left according to the original prescription, meaning of two rak'ah. Ahmed Ali accepted the Maghrib prayer for it is the witr, meaning prayer of the day, and accept the Fajr prayer since the recitation, meaning of the Quran, is prolonged in it. In this hadith, what Aisha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned, the salah, the five prayers, when Allah prescribed it, when Allah made mandatory, when was that? After Hijrah, after Prophet migrated from Mecca to Medina, the five prayers were made mandatory. Different answer. You all agree on that? Some of you, barakallahu fikum. Al-qalbu hadir, or al-aks. Al-jismu hadir wal-qalbu ghaib, na'am. The five prayers, when was it legislated? The five prayers. Na'am. Ahsanta. That's the correct answer. The five prayers was made mandatory the night the Prophet was ascended to the heaven. The 10th year of the Hijrah. Some ulama say that was 6th year, but the 10th is the majority. So the 10th year of the Hijrah, when Prophet was ascended to the heaven, is when the five prayers were prescribed. But how? Two rak'ah. Except Maghrib and Fajr. Maghrib and Fajr was the same. Maghrib was 3 rak'ah, Fajr was 2 rak'ah. But the rest of 3 prayers, which are 4 rak'ah prayers, the Dhuhr, the Asr, and Isha, was legislated 2 rak'ah. From the 10th year, all the way after Hijrah 4 years, or after Hijrah 1 year and a half, or around that, the ulama, they differ. So after Hijrah, for the traveler, it was left the way it was, of 2 rak'ah. So Dhuhr, Asr, Isha remained 2 rak'ah for traveler. And as for the resident, it was added to 2 rak'ah. Is this understandable? So what's the origin of the prayer of the traveler? 4 rak'ah or 2 rak'ah? 2 rak'ah for those Dhuhr and Asr and Isha. Therefore, Prophet ﷺ never prayed more than 2 rak'ah while traveling. Question. Is it allowed for someone traveling to pray more than 2 rak'ah, Dhuhr and Isha and Asr? Is it allowed someone who's traveling, instead of praying 2 rak'ah, the Dhuhr and the Asr and Isha, to pray 4 rak'ah? Yes, one answer is yes. 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 إذا كان إماماً. سؤال إذا كان إماماً. If he is Imam or he is praying by himself, he is munfarid and he is a traveler, can he pray the Isha 4 rak'ah, the Asr 4 rak'ah, the Isha, the Dhuhr 4 rak'ah, or he must only pray 2 rak'ah? Since that what was legislated in the beginning and it remained that way for the traveler. The ulama, they differ. But the majority of them, they say it is permissible. They say it is permissible. Majority of them say it's more appropriate, more better to make it 2 rak'ah. But they say it's not a mandatory. Why? They say it was made 2 rak'ah to make easy for the traveler. So if he chooses to complete, he can complete. What is the proof? They use 2 proofs. Number one, that Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa and he was making Hajj in Mina, he completed. Even though Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when they tell him, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Like a tragedy happened. He said, I pray behind the Prophet. He used to pray 2 rak'ah. Here, in Mina. Ibn Mas'ud said that. I pray behind Abu Bakr, 2 rak'ah. I pray behind Umar, 2 rak'ah. I pray behind Uthman, 2 rak'ah. I mean, it's the beginning of the time of Uthman. And now 4 rak'ah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So the proof is Uthman, from those who were commanded to follow, wouldn't pray 4 rak'ah if he doesn't believe it's legislated. It is understandable. And also the Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud himself, he prayed with him. Even though he disliked to complete, but he prayed with him. If he would believe it's invalid, he wouldn't pray with him. Al-Imam Shafi'i, he mentioned another proof. He said, if it wouldn't be allowed 4 rak'ah, the traveler who pray behind a resident, what should he do? You are a traveler and you pray behind a resident. What should you do? You complete or you pray 2 rak'ah? You complete. Imam Shafi'i said, if the origin was not 4 rak'ah, that traveler wouldn't be commanded to pray 4 rak'ah. Because he prayed behind somebody resident. I mean, this traveler, he's close to a resident situation. So he prayed behind him. He prayed the same way the resident imam is praying. But no doubt that to pray 2 rak'ah is better. It's better. But if you complete it, then it's valid. That is what the ulama, the majority of them, they say. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, and the proof is the ulama, they say عائشة رضي الله عنها herself, who is the narrator of the hadith. She is the only one who narrated this hadith. She herself used to complete when she is traveling, saying لا يشق علي. This is not her on me, she used to say. It's not her on me. So she is the one who narrated the hadith that the salah was only made mandatory 2 rak'ah, 2 rak'ah, 2 rak'ah, and the 2 rak'ah was confirmed for traveler and was added 2 rak'ah in it. She is the one who narrated. So she understands the hadith more than anyone else. And al-Rawi adra bima rawa. He knows what he narrated more than anyone else. So radiallahu anha Aisha, and this is authentic from her, she used to complete sometimes saying, it's easy for me. It's not hard on me to complete it. Tayyib, question. Traveler who shortened the prayer, is it legislated for him to combine Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha? Or is it not? I confuse you. Someone is a traveler. Is it allowed for him to combine Dhuhr and Asr together and Maghrib and Isha together? نعم. طيب. طيب أحسن. Abu Wail said, one of the ulama said, Mashayikh, if he is not moving, even though he's traveler in general, but he is now residing a city, he's traveling, now he come to Atlanta, he's from Ohio to Florida, so he's staying today and tomorrow. In that case, he said, it's better to pray Salah when it is time, but two rak'ah. Yes, and that's what Prophet ﷺ did in Mina. Prophet ﷺ, the days he was in Mina, the day of Eid, and the 3 days, next 4 days, he said, even though he was a traveler, he was shortening, he was praying every Salah on his time. You understand or you get confused? Na'am. So, but if you want, you can combine. It's allowed. طيب وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقصر في السفر ويتم ويصوم ويفطر رواه الدارقطني ورواته ثقات إلا أنه معلول والمحفوظ عن عائشة رضي الله عنها من فعلها وقالت إنه لا يشق علي أخرجه البيهقي ناري عائشة رضي الله عنها while on a journey the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to shorten the prayer meaning sometimes and over it completely, many sometimes. Similarly, he used to observe fast sometimes and break it, many sometimes. Ad-Darqutni reported, and it is narrators are reliable, but it is a defective narration. It's weak. The Mahfud, the correct narration from Aisha radiallahu anha concerning this matter is that it was her practice. Meaning that she, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, over prayers in the complete form during traveling. And not the practice of the Prophet. She said, it is not hard for me. So this narration, as for marfu', is weak. But as for mawquf, it is authentic. What's the difference between marfu', mawquf? المرفوع ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. مرفوع is what is رفع إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما أسند إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. What's referred to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. What said Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did he said and the like. الموقوف is what the Sahabi said or the Sahabi did it. So it's موقوف. مينس عائشة رضي الله عنها it is she who used to complete sometimes the salah when she's traveling and she used to say it is not hard on me. طيب next حديث عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم somebody ask him reason okay وعن أبي وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال 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 رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله يحب أن تؤتى رخصه كما يكره أن تؤتى معصيته رواه أحمد وصحابه بن خزيمة بن حبان وفي رواية كما يحب أن تؤتى عزائمه ناري بن عمر رضي الله عنه الله's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said Allah the most high loves that his permissions be practiced just as he dislikes that disobedience to him be committed. Ahmad reported Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibam Gurir is Sahih authentic and narration has as he Allah Azza wa Jalla loves that his duties be observed. So in this narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he gives you permission, like to shorten the prayer when you're traveling, to combine, to break the fasting, and the like, he likes you to take that. Allah gave you that to make easy for you. So accept it. From the sadaqah, charity of Allah Azza wa Jal to you. I see, on the other hand, Allah hates to disobey him. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا خرج مسيرة 3 أميال أو فراسخ صلى ركعتين رواه مسلم. narrated Anas radiallahu anhu when Allah's Messenger sallam went out on a journey of 3 miles or 3 farasikh. 3 miles or 3 farasikh. He sallam used to pray 2 rak'ah, reported by Muslim. In these narrations, Habi Anas, what do we know from Anas? Who is Anas's mother name? Her name is Umm Sulaym. She was very wise and smart female. She came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, "O the Messenger of Allah, this is my son Anas. I want him to serve you and I want you to make him dua for him." So he was the khadim, he was the servant of the Prophet. He used to serve Prophet. And alhamdulillah, from that, how many hadith Anas narrated? Allahu Akbar. وَالْمُكْثِرُونَ فِي رِوَايَةِ الْأَثَرِ أَبُو هُرَيْرَ وَيَلِيبٌ عُمَرُ وَآنَسُ وَعَائِشَةُ زَوْجِ النَّبِي. He is the third companion who narrated the most hadith. Good mother, that's what she does for her child. Mothers. Without mothers, we would have ulama in many cases. Yes, this is the example. Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, she brought her son Anas to the Prophet ﷺ to serve him and to make dua for him. And Anas, because of what his mother did, not only he benefited the ummah. He is the third companion who narrated the most narrations from Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Anas radiallahu anhu, even though he was young, he was 10 years old. When at that time, he mentioned that Prophet Muhammad never beat him. Prophet never hit him. That's Prophet Muhammad, a young boy who is serving him, his parents brought him to serve him, who live with him, he is feeding him and everything. He didn't hit any time. Never. Not only that, even he didn't blame him. Even he didn't use his strong statement to him. In a way, Anas mentioned one time, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, Prophet ﷺ asked me to do something. He said, "I said, I am not doing it." Subhanallah. While he said, "It's in me to do it." He said, "I owe the Messenger of Allah, I am not doing it," with a clear language. Then Prophet ﷺ, he left him alone. Sahabi went to do it, but on his way he found kids playing. So he joined the play. Children like playing. Some parents is here in this environment or anywhere, they wanted the child to act like 50-year-old. Allah, that's wrong, Allah. Yes, mashallah. This father, he loved good, jazawallahu khairan, but he wanted his son to act like him. Yes, he come to the masjid, he take class like him, he go home, he pray tahajjud with him, he everything. Nah, the children, they need to have fun. They need to play. They are not like you. They can't be like you. Yes, but of course, nah. Yes. This actor, what I was talking about. Anna said, so it is the same thing. They said, so Anas, he went, and then he joined those playing, the play, and somebody hold him from back, he looked at him, it's the Prophet ﷺ smiling. And Prophet ﷺ, he asked him, "Anas, did you go where I told you to go?" Anas said, "I said, oh, the Messenger, I'm doing it now, inshallah." He said, he set me free, he left me alone while he's smiling, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, your own son or somebody who should listen to you, you tell him, "Dude," he say, I'm not going to do it. And you don't react, you let him go. And you see him, actually, he didn't do it. He did both in statement and action. Naam. And you smiling to him. Then Anas, he said, in that narration, Prophet ﷺ never said, "What I did it, why you did it. What I didn't do it, why you didn't do it." Yes, if you say something you didn't do it, you did it. Why you did it? You don't have an answer. You are in a problem because you already did it. Something you didn't do it, why you didn't do it? If you look here, this narration, Prophet ﷺ, he didn't say, Anas, why you didn't go where I told you to go? He said, did you go where I tell you to go? So did you go? No, I didn't go. That's the his open answer. And that's what he did. But I'm doing it now. Okay, do it now. That's what it means. But why you didn't do it? You cannot bring any justification. What can he say? I told you to go. Do it. Why you didn't do it? Can he say I was playing game? No. Even playing game, even though he likes, but means he didn't take the issue serious. He still maybe he's in a test. He's testing the Prophet. Children, sometimes they test you. Yes, wallah, they sometimes do it intentionally. They see how you are, how you react. If you act like a wild, khalas, they know you after that. Yes. So the origin is not harshness. The origin is gentleness, is easiness. That's the origin of tarbiyah. Some children, they run from Islam, they hate the sunnah, they hate salafiyah after a certain age. If you make some research, you find maybe they've been treated harshly. They were not treated based on love and mercy and making them understand. It was do it. If you don't do it, your hair is gone. Naam. Some children, they pray without wudu because they fear, they scare. What kind of salah that's going to be? It's better to convince them. To convince them. That they do it willingly. Something you are not convinced with doing is very hard on you. But when you are convinced with it, easy for you. So to make them understand, to advise them more. Naam. Yes. Some parents, no communication. It's just a command. It's like he's the head of arm. Sending his arm to Afghanistan or I don't know. Astaghfirullah. La, these are children. Make them understand. Why they pray, why they fast, why they do what they do of good. It's your own benefit. Naam, with rahmah. One brother, he told me, from Africa, he was not used to pray. His father, when he see him, if he find he doesn't pray, what he will do? So he said, there's no water. He used to use his speech to make it look like he use water. Astaghfirullah. Another one, I know him. He went from a city to another city. And when he went to another city, he had a bad friend. He started smoking cigarette. And his father, he came to that city unknowingly. When he saw the father coming and smoking, he swallowed the cigarette. Somebody, I know him. He swallowed the whole cigarette. Because you know what will happen to him? It's harder than smoking air with swallowing a cigarette. What this all kind of? And this one, he was adult. He was not young. Because this father, whatever he has, he throw it. He has a gun, he shoot him. Nas'Allah, salam al-afiyah. Some of them, yes, they do that. This is jahiliyyah. Some mudarrisin, some Quranic teachers in Africa, for instance, subhanallah. The teachers, they compete one another. Who beat his students more? Wallahi, it's known the teacher. That teacher, people are praising him. How he beat his students. Some teachers were killed by the students. They agree upon, what do we do? We don't have any life. So they agree on the put plan and they get rid of him. All that is because how they are treated. If those students would have been treated kindly, as the Prophet ﷺ treat them, he teach them, he never hit anybody. Prophet ﷺ, not even any of his wife, not any of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any of his children. He had seven children. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and any of his companion. So the origin is ad-din al-rahmah, The religion of Islam is based on rahmah and mercy and knowledge and communication and understanding. Wallahu wal hadi. And the hidayah guidance is in the hand of Allah. You cannot guide somebody by force. You can't do it. It goes the opposite. So in reality, the tarbiyah of many of the parents is not well. Their tarbiyah is based on by force and threatening, not by mercy and teaching and helping. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا خرج مسيرة ثلاثة أميال أو فراسخ صلى ركعتين رواه مسلم. Narrated Anas رضي الله عنه, when Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم went out on a journey of 3 miles or 3 فراسخ. 3 فراسخ, each فرسخ is 3 miles, so 3 فراسخ is 9 miles. So the narrator either said Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he go out on a journey of 3 miles or 9 miles, he sallam used to pray 2 rak'ah, means from there he used to start the shorten the prayer. Is this understandable? So let us say now you are a traveler going to New York. Prophet, he is a traveler going to Mecca, from Medina going to Mecca. When he starts shortening the prayer, while he is still in his house, in his masjid, in Medina, in the city, no. When he is far from the city, 3 miles or 9 miles, either 3 or 9 miles. Was he said 3 miles or 9 miles? Shakun min arawi, doubt. 3 miles or 9 miles. Of course, at that time, whether it's 3 miles or 9 miles, is outside the city of Medina. Therefore, the ulama, they say, you start shortening the prayer when the buildings of the city you live is behind you. Not in front of you, not your sides, is behind you. There you start shortening your prayers. You don't shorten your prayer while you are in your house next to your wife, saying, my intention is to shorten the prayer. Where is the traveler? Even the ulama, they say, if the airport is in the city, no shortening the prayer in the airport. Okay, but the place you go in must be a place of shortening the prayer. That place, how far it should be? Some ulama, they say, is about 48 miles. 81 kilometer around that. Not kilogram, kilometer, 81, about that of miles. And some scholars, they say, no, it goes back to the custom of the people. Wherever the people consider a place of traveling, it's considered. Because it's not in the sunnah, a limited number of distance, a limited distance to consider a traveling, but based on the understanding of the people. Okay, if you travel and you end up, you recite a place. You from here, you want to go to, let me say, Texas. And then you stop on Nashville. You stay in days. Will you shorten the prayer or you complete? Even if you stay there 1 year, you shorten? No. Some of you say yes, some of you no. How long? You shorten the prayer if you are in Nashville, heading to Texas, left in Georgia. Yes, 3 days. Some of you say 3 days. Tayyib. In reality, the ulama, they deliver this issue so many. Yes. 3 days, unless you get to your destination. Okay. The The ulama, they differ. The opinion chosen by Sheikh Ibn Baz and others and the mature scholars is if you intend to stay in that place more than 4 days, from the time you're in, you complete the salah. You are not considered a traveler. More than 4 days. But if it's 4 days, you intended to stay 4 days or less, or you don't know a specific time you will stay there, you are considered a traveler. You shorten the prayers. And you take all the permissions of traveler. Is this clear or you get confused? Muhammad, you understand? Yes. Your mind is went out. I see that. Sometimes you can read one's face. Yes. I repeat it. The majority of ulama, including Sheikh Ibn Baz, they say, if you are a traveler and you reside somewhere, it's not the destination you are going to, and it's not from where you are from. Or even it's the destination you are going to, but you go back to your home. If you stay that place more than you intend to stay more than 4 days, like 5 days, week, more than 4 days, from the time you enter, you are not considered traveler. But 4 days or less, 2 days, 1 day, and the like, or no limit. You can go anytime. For instance, you have an interview with a company, or you are a truck driver, you're waiting a load, or you are waiting people who are visiting you. Any other issue, which can happen in 1 day, it can happen in a year, you don't know it. Or someone, Nasarullah Salaam wal Afi, is in a jail. He's waiting to be moved to another jail. He doesn't know when, for instance. Or he's waiting to be released. Inshallah, he will be released. He doesn't know when. If you are in that situation, you don't know when. Even if it ended up being years, you are considered a traveler. So 4 days or less, or you do not know, you are considered a traveler. More than 4 days, you intend to stay, you are considered resident. And those ulama they use because the only time we know, they said, Prophet ﷺ traveled and he intended to stay a place. He intended to stay a place. And with that intention, he was still shortening the prayer is when he performed Hajj. When he went to perform Hajj, he ﷺ entered Makkah the 4th day of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Ahad, Yom al-Ahad, the 4th day. When did he ﷺ left Makkah? What day he left? He stayed the 4th day, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th he left. How many days he stayed? You confused? 5 or 4. He entered the 4th. Yeah, he entered the 4th and he left the 8th. 4 days. That's 4 days. يعني دخل صباح يوم الأحد وخرج أي يوم؟ يوم الأحد والاثنين والثلاثاء والأربعاء. Khamis, he left Khamis. He entered Sunday and he left Thursday. Because tomorrow is Friday, day of Arafah. So how many days? Some of you, they say 5, some of you 4. How do we end this conflict? Yes. Okay. 5 days. Okay. No, you count 24 hours. Day is 24 hours. So if you enter the 4th day, The next day is the first day. The fifth day is the first day. The sixth, second day. The seventh, third day. And the eighth is fourth day. هذا الكلام مفهوم؟ If you enter yesterday, you come Atlanta yesterday, 10 a.m. Today, when it's 10 a.m., how many days do you stay? One day. That's one day. You enter in the morning and you left the next morning. How many days you stay? That's one day. So that's it. And with him, the fourth day, maybe if we digest the information, we take time, we'll understand. So before that, we don't fight. Tayyib. So the ulama, they say, that is the only time they know Prophet was intending, he was in a place and he intended to stay there. Because the Hajj started the eighth day. Any other time, Prophet he was in a place, like in Mecca, he was 19 days when he captured Mecca. In Tabuk, he was 20 days. Khaybar, he was more than that. They say, Prophet, he didn't know when he will leave because he was there for a purpose. Sometimes confronting the enemy, sometimes the preparing the city he captured, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to make a system for it and to go back. So he didn't know when he will. But that time, he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, planned to stay because he only came for Hajj, and Hajj only starts the eighth day. Is this understandable? But the issue, haqiqah, a lot of difference. If you want to go back to Nair al-Awtar, للحالم للعلامة علي بن محمد الشوكاني اليمني رحمه الله صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد